The World Meteorological Organization say this year is shaping up to be the hottest year on record, with June becoming the 14th consecutive month of record-breaking temperatures. But on last night's Q&A, One Nation Senator-elect Malcolm Roberts argued there was still not enough data to show climate change was real. Research by the CSIRO suggests that Malcolm Roberts is not alone. They found that while 78% of Australians believe climate change is happening, only 45% believe it is man-made. Shane Anderson has more.
As far as I'm concerned, politics should be based on empirical evidence. All policy should be based on empirical evidence. I've heard consensus, which is not science. I've heard appeals to authority, which is not science. I've heard various illusions.
That was One Nation Senator Malcolm Roberts questioning data from NASA showing a steep rise in temperatures over the past 50 years. But behind the laughter lies a deep scepticism of science that pervades Australian society. Climate change is a global problem, but how can we tackle this homegrown brand of climate change denial? I spoke to Professor David McKnight from the University of New South Wales. He co-authored the book Big Coal. I began by asking him why the facts no longer make a convincing argument.
Well, the answer's complicated, but it goes a bit like this. From the 1990s, the evidence of human-caused climate change became stronger and stronger. And what the sceptics say to this is that there emerged a scientific consensus, which was mentioned on the program last night, and this consensus was actually just an orthodoxy, and an orthodoxy really is an official ideology that's backed by authority rather than having any intrinsic merits. And if you start to see science as an orthodoxy, it means that scientific results are reduced to a matter of political opinion. And of course, in matters of opinion, anyone can hold an opinion, and anyone's opinion is prima facie no better than anyone else's. The second result of that idea that science is an orthodoxy, the skeptics become brave dissidents against an oppressive set of beliefs. They see themselves and they hope to be seen as rebels standing up to an oppressive authority, and that's quite attractive to some people. The third thing that results from all this is that scientists become characterised as an elite, as a kind of priesthood which ranges over the orthodoxy. And when you call people an elite, you're saying they have power or privilege. And in this case, what the sceptics do is they say the real motive of climate scientists is really to scare governments and get bigger research grants and so on. And some of this came out in the Q&A program last night.
Malcolm Roberts did get a bad rap for being climate change denier, but sitting next to him on the panel is Greg Hunt, who was the former Environment Minister in Abbott's government, who was responsible for approving the Adani coal mines while he was in power. It's interesting that it's an anti-establishment ideology, but one that seems to run through to the core of the establishment?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I don't think it's right that climate change is a left-right or left versus right or conservative versus anti-conservative issue. I mean, there are plenty of European conservative parties that accept and act on climate change, and they have some of the most advanced energy policies. And as well, the record of the left is not pure on this.
You did mention that there's a different brand of conservative approaches to the environment in countries around Europe and the UK. Is there something particularly Australian about Malcolm Roberts' approach to climate change?
Well, what I found interesting about Malcolm Roberts is that he was employed as a manager, I understand, in the coal industry. And part of what makes Australia perhaps different from Europe and other countries where climate change is just not such a controversial issue, is that Australia is blessed or cursed by having huge reserves of coal. And what that means is there's a very lucrative industry there. Australia is one of the biggest coal exporters in the world. There are also jobs in regional areas. So that means that if you start to accept the science of climate change and the role of coal, then the implications are very significant. I mean, it's not going to be an easy or simple transition.
Do you see many parallels between this and other nations?
Well, one of the clear parallels is that in Australia, the fossil fuel industries have been real active opponents of any, even the most mild change to energy policy. And that is very similar to what has happened in the United States. In the United States, it went much, much further, where oil companies like Exxon were openly giving grants to and fostering and sponsoring climate skeptic organisations. It hasn't quite happened in such a blatant way in Australia.
Do you think that it is possible to disentangle climate change rhetoric from politics?
I think it's important for the people who are concerned, who genuinely understand how dramatic and radical the threat of climate change is. I think it's very important strategically to say this is not a left versus right issue. This is not an issue where it's Labor and the Greens versus the Conservatives. If it's like that, we'll just have the kind of stalemate we've had so far. Part of the sort of paralysis that we face in climate politics is that it's seen as a side issue, it's seen as an environmental issue, it's not seen as a central issue for the whole community.
That was David McKnight from the University of New South Wales, ending that report by Shane Anderson.